Good to have you along. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, with you. Another exciting edition of Broadcasting Excellence. We call it Duncan's Pulse, where we literally take the pulse and just have some real in-depth, great conversations with newsmakers here at Howard Community College. And my guest today is a woman that I met when I first became a part of the team here at Dragon Digital Radio. You remember we had that wonderful event at Whole Foods. Literally, I'd only been with the station like 2 weeks. I was brand new, so green, and I was a little nervous. I remember walking up to the place. This is, you know, Whole Foods here in Columbia. Her name is Melissa Maddy, and she was just very kind, and we did a wonderful interview, and it's so good to have her here on Duncan's Pulse. Missy, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks so much for being here. Your title is Director of Development, and you're also the Executive Director of the Educational Foundation here at HCC.
Yes.
When I was asking you about your background and everything else, you've been here at the college 37 years.
Yes, a long time.
You do not have to go into the whole background about that. Talk to me about your educational background and how you first came to be a part of Howard.
I started here as a student. Okay. At Howard, but many years, right out of high school, then left for a while. But I got reintroduced to Howard when word processing became the thing. And there, I'm sure people don't even know what that means.
Oh, I do, believe me.
But the college, to learn word processing as a skill back then, this was the early 80s, the college didn't even have it in their lab, which was by then called their secretarial science lab or whatever. The college had a word processing, I call it kind of like a typing pool.
Okay.
It had a word processing center.
Okay.
So I learned as a student in the center doing college work. And when someone left, they asked me if I wanted to stay.
Interesting.
And I said to myself, I like this place. I said, I could see myself working here for a while. And obviously that came true because I'm still here.
Yeah.
But after word processing, they decentralized. I worked in the math, science, and business division,
okay,
which doesn't exist. They're all separate divisions now.
Right.
A few years of that, I went up to the president's office to do word processing and eventually worked my way through all the different. I was an office assistant. I was an office supervisor. Then I became the executive assistant to the Board of Trustees. And I worked directly with the Board of Trustees for many years, which I think gave me the background to do the development work that I do now.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Okay.
Had a lot of opportunity to meet the individuals in the community,
right,
to interface with elected officials, and I had a lot of knowledge about the college at that point in time.
Right.
We were also much smaller, and when Mary Ellen Duncan came in as the new president, I worked with her for a full year at least, and she said, you know, I'm reorganizing the development office over there. I think you'd be a good fit.
Interesting.
So I kind of moved over into that,
okay,
with special events and alumni.
And what year was that?
That was in 1999.
Okay.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years ago now.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, you're right. I don't even think of it in terms of years anymore.
Right.
I did the alumni and special events for a while, and then I think in 2002, the executive director and director of development who I worked with very closely left to go to another school, and I took the job and been doing it ever since.
Obviously, your goal is basically raising money for the school, am I correct?
Okay. Yes.
What would you say would be the most enjoyable part of your work on a day-to-day basis? Just meeting people, making new contacts? I was basically going to make the observation that your radio and sales kind of go hand in hand, but obviously the college is, you know, dealing with funding and all that, and that's where you come in.
Yes. People, definitely the people.
Okay.
And it's the people here at the college. It's the people in the community that I meet. It's the students that are receiving scholarships that I meet. It's the donors. It's the social aspect of, and it's the fact that you're working with people and meeting people who have really, in the end, a common goal to support the students here.
Right.
I say I have the best job in the college because I have this opportunity to meet so many amazing people in our community.
That's great. The days are different.
Oh, every day is different. You never know. I mean, it could be that you're working on an event, you know, and something could, you know, come up with an event.
Right.
You could be in meetings all day. You know, you could be meeting with donors. You could be meeting with students. You could be sitting in your office, you know, working on a report. There's a number of different things. I mean, every day I try to plan my day out the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Never seems to work.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a little bit of this before. What's so special about the Educational Foundation? I know there are some bad days, but why this particular avenue versus the others that you've worked with? Why the Educational Foundation? What's the passion behind all this?
The passion behind that is the students. You know, is being able to say that you had a role in a student being successful, that a student was able to complete their education or even to come to college at all because I had the ability to work with businesses and individuals here in the college or individuals in the community and businesses in the community and get them involved and have them understand, if they didn't already understand, what the college's role is here mm-hmm. in the community. Mm-hmm. Great opportunity, and it's rewarding work. You know, at the end of the day, sure, I get rejected a lot. I mean, not everybody I talk to is interested in giving a gift or getting involved. Yeah. But the people that I have met in my years working here at the college, I probably would never have had an opportunity to work with or meet these types of people.
That's excellent. Talk about your team a little bit. We've got about 3 minutes to go to our first break. How many people work under you? And just talk about the organization of your sure. team and brag on a couple of people if you want to go.
Okay. Well, bragging on a couple of people might take us more than 3 minutes. That's for
that's
sure.
That's fine. We can take it in the next commercial. Okay. That's fine.
All right. There are 9 other individuals in the office.
Okay.
There is Ann Johnson, who is our Director of Resource Development. Ann is, if you've ever worked with Ann, full of energy, a dynamite colleague, smart and efficient. I mean, you ask something to get done, it gets done. She was actually a foundation board member years ago when okay. she managed Belmont Conference Center,
wow.
which is how we met. Carrie Ebling is our assistant director.
Okay.
Also an individual, very experienced, very creative, very sweet. Everybody in I think development has a tendency to have nurture more, maybe some individuals who are a little more nurturing
right.
because of the type of work we do. We're all very customer service oriented.
I was going to say, you have to be.
Yes. So Carrie is also a great addition to the team. She's been with us maybe 3-4 years now.
Okay.
Sarah Angerer, our grants coordinator and writer, because grants actually comes out of the foundation office.
Gotcha.
And, with regard to money coming in.
Okay.
She works on grants that are competitive or non-competitive, meaning that we either apply for or we're eligible for.
Gotcha.
She's probably one of our quiet workers. She's in her office, working day to day, doing her thing, works with so many people in the college. She's so easy to work with and so smart and so experienced in her area. And people love working with her because she's so easygoing and she's very calm. She's good at calming people down.
That's good. That's good. I've worked with some radio salespeople who are just kind of, they get a no and they just, but.
Yeah. And then we have Joyce Danzig, who is our foundation accounting manager. A little funny story there. Joyce worked in our office years ago, I think up until 2012. Then she left our office to go work in the finance office. Hmm. They were looking for a grants and compliance officer, which was a great fit for her.
Right.
And it was an opportunity to move up.
Right.
Joyce is now back in our office 5 years later because we had an opening. And right. she said, you know, I think I want to come back. I really liked what I did. She's great with follow through and detail. Smart woman. Great to work with, easy to work with, and lots of good ideas. A good problem solver.
Excellent.
Sure.
Excellent. So you said there were 9. I guess we've got a couple more left to go.
Yes, we have a couple more to go.
Go ahead. Take your time. We're fine.
Right. We have Faith Reed, who is our gift processing associate. Faith has been with us since, I think, like 2008, and actually started out in the front office as a foundation associate, one of the, our, like, I would call them maybe similar to an administrative assistant.
Right.
Now does all of our gift processing, has really grown the job and done a wonderful job. She's also very thorough, you know, very calm about her. And, you know, people ask smart questions. She's one of those, you know, it makes you stop and think like, you know, why are we doing that?
Or right.
maybe we should think about doing
that's
that.
That's right. The why in everything is so important.
It is. It is. We have Jessica Dalrymple, who is our database associate. This is a newer position in our office, probably okay. the newest position in our office, because back in the day, Faith was also kind of doing the database and the gift processing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't until 2009 that we switched over to the colleague system here at the college.
Gotcha.
But it became so burdensome and so much going on, and we had so much growth and so much more we wanted to do with our donors that we needed someone who could just handle our database. So
gotcha.
Jessica's excellent at that. I mean, she can talk over my head in many, many occasions, but she's quick about getting the work that needs to be done, even though some of it's not quick because when you're running reports and things, and you need
time.
To dig deep. You need right. to dig a little deep, but she's good at that. So we're very lucky to have her. Someone who just started this week, Natasha Boston, our special events manager. That's a great job to have because you're involved in a lot of different things, a lot of fun things. It's a lot of work,
sure.
a lot of detail.
Right, well, I can imagine.
A lot of follow through.
Yeah.
Looking forward to working with Natasha. You know, I really liked her during the interview process, and she brings a lot of experience from the private sector, and I think she's going to be a good fit in the office.
Gotcha. Sounds like a lot of good camaraderie. Go ahead.
It is, and it is all about, you know, the personalities in an office, especially when you're bringing new people in. We have Jackie Taylor, who has been in our office for years, maybe that would require math.
That's okay.
So, you know, probably 17, close to 18 years now.
Wow.
She is our development associate. She's that person that's right there when you walk in the front door. She is friendly. She's quiet, mm-hmm. but very friendly, very, very good at the job she does. She's always thinking ahead. A lot of times I'll say, hey, Jackie, let's make sure we do this. She goes, already done it. You know, organized. So those are the kind of people that you want to help you to
gotcha.
Be successful.
Gotcha.
We have Sharon Otto. Is our foundation associate.
Okay.
We've split the two jobs. You know, they're both the same level, but Char deals mostly with the foundation. She helps work with the board.
Right.
Types of things on the foundation side. Jackie does a lot more special events pieces okay. on the development side.
Okay.
So Char is one of our newer members. She works with the board. She you know, there's a lot of stuff on her plate. She's also a very calming influence, very smart woman,
mm-hmm.
And has brought some experience from other companies that she's worked with into right. the development office, which has been great.
And you guys are located where?
We are in McEwen Hall
okay.
on the first floor.
You guys have the glass office because mm-hmm. I know when on my way to
yes.
to go to the quad. That's where I thought you guys were. Okay.
Well, I stole from WTOP. The
glass enclosed nerve center.
Yes, that's what I call us. I tell people that's what we are.
That's fantastic. No guys working there. I mean, I'm not saying that guys don't know how to don't know accounting. I'm just like, but you know what? It sounds like you got a really good team.
I do, and we've had men. Don't worry, we're not discriminatory.
I'm not saying nothing. Okay.
We've had men in the office, but right now we are currently all female staff.
That's all right. That's perfectly good. We have a lot more to talk about with Missy and Maddie coming up in just a few minutes. More coming your way here on Duncan's Pulse in just a few moments. Stay close.
Hey, everyone. Let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're back. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, with you. We're having a wonderful conversation with Missy Maddie. She is Director of Development. She's also the Executive Director with the HCC Educational Foundation. To wrap this up, your team is fantastic. They sound like a real sharp group of ladies, and you all know what you're doing. You sound like it.
We're all about process improvement. It's a good team, and we seriously are good about process improvement, because obviously we want to make things, we want people to enjoy the events that they come to, that we put on.
Right.
And as individuals, we want to improve how we are and how we work. So,
that's exactly
yeah,
right.
It is. I do. I have to say, I have a great team. It's an amazing group of individuals who work really hard, who work well together, and are supportive of each other personally and professionally.
Excellent. Let's talk about the Educational Foundation itself. It's a nonprofit 501c3. And again, looking here right off your website, you provide, and we've talked about this before, provide funds for scholarships, grants, and programs that benefit the college. And again, your goal is to improve lives and create opportunities by funding pathways to stimulate success. I'm looking here, you have board members, you have two events. I want to talk about the two events that you had recently. Vino Scolastico, a little Italian and Spanish there. That was on Friday, April 27th. Talk about the success of that event. Just talk about what went into involving that.
Ah, that event is, it's the 12th year that we've done
wow.
the Vino event.
Okay.
This year was the first year in the Science, Engineering, and Technology building.
Ah.
So that actually turned out to be a great venue for it. But not to mention, we did it the last 2 years in the Health Sciences building.
Okay.
But which has two separate wings, so you kind of got two dead ends. Kind of that way. The Science, Engineering, and Technology building is circular. The hallway is circular.
Yes,
so it was easy for people to negotiate and had a little more open space in the hallway. But
okay.
that event is great. It brings in a lot of wine distributors. We have beer distributors and other spirits, bourbon, rum, a number of different things. People have an opportunity to taste. You know, and if you're not into wine, there's some other things that are there for the tasting. But we also have different restaurants in there. So that it's, well, we don't consider it food tasting, but there are different food stations where you can get all different kinds of food. Like Wegmans was there with their sushi.
Nice.
You know, we've had a lot of different, you know, groups that have come in, you know, with their specialties. Try some places that
right.
maybe they haven't tried before. Try
right.
some wines. They can buy the wines right there that night. We work very closely with Eric Stein from Decanter Fine Wines. He is also one of the chairs of the Vino Scolastico committee, because it is a fundraising committee that works. It's really a subcommittee of the foundation board.
Right.
But he does a wonderful job. He gets all these distributors. We bring in all the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
The committee works on getting sponsors and selling tickets.
Gotcha.
And so it's a very nice evening. It's very low key, but a very enjoyable and comfortable evening.
Right.
And, you know, it's a Friday night right after work, so people can come straight there.
Right.
There's plenty to eat, so you don't have to grab dinner.
That's great.
We always do a pre-event, an educational event. This year it was a Jay Yelmans. He is a master of wine, so he was in there talking about blind tasting different wines.
Interesting.
But we always do a pre-event, which is educational. So it's not just a fun time. You can actually learn some things if you're interested. So.
Right. Obviously, wine tastings are popular and everything else, but if you can take me back to the initial blossomings of this event, was this a yay or nay, or like, why not, or something?
You know. Actually, it was Eric Stein's idea. He came in to us and said, look, Hagerstown Community College does this incredible event. They do it in their gym. We need to go up and look at it because I think we need to do one here.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we went out, we took a look. We did something similar, but you know, Eric, of course, is his own man and has his own ideas, but it's gone through different iterations of, it's always been a tasting. It's grown dramatically. We started out in the fourth floor of the Rouse Company Foundation building, outgrew that, moved over to the Health Sciences building, really kind of outgrew that. You know, so the Science, Engineering, and Technology building is working for us right now.
Right.
First, I mean, we might have had 10 distributors the first year. I think I want to say we had like 29.
Wow.
The numbers are just growing, obviously, because we've also increased. It's not just wine as the first ones.
Right.
But, you know, we've had silent auctions, live auctions. We've done a number of different things throughout the years, and we've kind of, with process improvement, made changes to the event to make it what it is today. We don't do any auctions. We do a wine raffle in that you buy. We have only so many bottles of wine available at a price. You buy a raffle ticket or multiple raffle tickets, and your bag number is put into the drawing, and we pick. We have one kind of grand prize that the winner gets.
What was the grand prize this year?
It was a gorgeous big basket of wine and
obviously some
snacks to go with that one.
Very cool. Yeah. Did you meet your goals for that particular fundraising event? I guess the numbers are still coming in, right?
We still have money coming in. And like I said, part of the wine sales, that you can buy the wine that night, you can buy it by the bottle, you can buy it by the case.
Hmm.
It goes through Eric's Storage Decanter Fine Wine, but we get a portion of the sales. So while people are buying and hopefully enjoying the wine, they're also helping students.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right. I get a ton of emails from you about this Silas Craft Collegians dinner. And I think we mentioned on previous Pulse programs, we've got about 4 minutes left. I want to dive into this. If we have to come back to it after the break, we'll do this.
Sure.
Just school me on this, if you would.
Okay. Well, Silas Craft was an educator in Howard County and very active during the Civil Rights Movement.
Gotcha.
You know, I believe was principal of the Harriet Tubman High School.
Oh, wow.
Many years ago.
Okay.
So he is a well-known Howard community individual and activist in the civil rights area. When the program was being put together, and the Silas Craft Collegians program is for students who may have not up to par in high school, but certainly showed promise and want a college degree.
Right.
So they have a program where they work very closely as a cohort with the staff of the program, and they do great things, the staff and the students. So in, 2000, probably 1990, right when I first started in the development office, get a call from a board member who says, Hunan Manor Restaurant's looking to partner with someone to do a fundraiser.
Hmm.
How about raising money for the Silas Craft Collegians program? Because it's brand new. It's going to need funding for scholarships and others.
Right.
So, yeah, great. So for the last, 19 years, we've been doing, because 2000 was the first one, we've been doing, Hunan shuts down their restaurant, and they provide everything 100% for free.
Wow.
Staff, food, drinks, desserts. Everything.
Is it one of your biggest fundraisers, if not the biggest fundraiser of the year?
It's actually not, because you're limited to the number of tickets you can sell.
Okay.
Because it's a 5 to 8 event, you know, and you can only have so many people in. But it's a buffet, so it's an ongoing thing. So it's interesting that the first couple years, people would come and stay the whole time.
Yeah.
And then it was packed. But I think people over the years have realized, I don't need to stay the whole time. So you almost have like two unofficial shifts coming
in. I understand.
You have a shift that comes very early and is there till about 6:30-ish.
Yeah.
And they'll show up at 4:30 before we're open. And then we'll have another group that'll start to show up around 6:30 or 7.
Professionally play late folks.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it works that way because then you can have seating for kind of both shifts without selling it as a shift.
Gotcha.
And we have different prices depending on whether you're, you know, a guest, or an employee, or a student. We have some different costs for tickets. 100% of the ticket sales go straight into the pot for the event.
That's great.
We also started something this was our third year doing something called Silas Supporters. Mm. That's a larger amount. For $1,000, you get so many tickets to the event, and you're listed everywhere in all our materials as a Silas Supporter.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that has helped us kind of, we always used to be in the $20,000 to $25,000 range for the night based on just ticket sales. Well, with the Silas Supporters, it's taken us into the $30,000 to $35,000.
Yeah, that's bringing in some serious cash.
So yeah, so it's great. The Vino Scholastico, we probably net, you know, anywhere from $80,000 to $90,000 on $1,000 on that event. That's net profit. So that's you know, $80,000 to $90,000. It's going back to students.
Okay.
For scholarships.
Great, that's fantastic.
This year, we had four events. Generally, we have three. We have a 5K challenge race in the fall, and that one is a very interesting, and it's kind of unique because it's a corporate team, more of a corporate team event. It's not your individual, let me sign up for a race kind of thing. It's all about team building and team, and it's all about wellness. That event, it's really a 10-week event because we start training people in August.
Wow.
So we have a kickoff in August, even though the race is not until October. We have opportunities. We partnered with CA. People get gym memberships. They can go into the gym and train and, you know, build. But we do runs twice a week, every week, building up to the race. So people can, if they've never done it, they're good. They but if they've done it before,
right,
they can or cannot attend the race, the training. But, you know, it's an effort to help people try to get healthy and do it as a team and to network.
And they're also helping you guys out. They're helping HCC out.
They are. They're helping students. They're corporate philanthropy or marketing, whatever they choose to take it. They're getting marketing, advertising out of it. You know, they're paying the sponsorship portion for their folks to be there. But also the day of the race, each sponsor has a tent where they can have all their stuff. They can talk, you know, and people are walking around and talking about, hey, what do you do? You know, and it's a great opportunity for networking, too. So it's a very fun event. Ann has been instrumental in putting that event together. And one of our foundation board members has always talked about us doing a 5K, Mike Drummond. So they put together, and Ann has a lot of energy, and she does a lot of races on her own. She's a triathlete. She's an Ironman. She's a pretty amazing woman. This event just has a lot of positive and good energy.
Oh, I can imagine. Any other events that are big, that are sort of your big fundraisers? You've got the run, you got the vino, you got the dinner. Anything else you want to mention before we go to break?
Yeah, this year we do President's Gala, black tie events, but we don't do them every year. We do them to celebrate something special. And this year we celebrated the grand opening of the Science Engineering Technology Building.
Right.
But also it was Kate's 10th anniversary as president.
Yep.
So we combined the two. We netted $200,000 for student scholarships from that event, for a one-night event.
That's huge.
And, you know, it's a lot of it has to do with who's on your committee.
Very, very cool. A lot more with Missy Maddie. Man, I'm getting an education right here. Again, this is Duncan's Pulse. Back with more in just a minute. Stay close.
The Howard County Dental Hygienist Association is a local component of the Maryland Dental Hygienist Association, which is a constituent of the American Dental Hygienist Association. The association is a professional organization which represents registered dental hygienists who live or practice in Howard County. We are active in educating our local community of the importance of quality preventive dental care to improve total health. The mission of the American Dental Hygienist Association is to advance the art and science of dental hygiene by ensuring access to quality oral health care, increasing awareness of the cost-effective benefits of prevention, promoting the highest standards of dental hygiene education, licensure, practice, and research, and representing and promoting the interests of dental hygienists. For more information, contact us at howardcountydha@gmail.com.
Missy, talk about, let's just do a little future cast here. 5 years down the road, do you see your team growing? What do you want for your department here at the college?
Good question. We always think, as part of the college's strategic planning, we're always thinking about growth and areas of greatest need. And, you know, we have grown tremendously since 6 years, just with bringing on, because for a long time, I was the only true fundraiser in the office.
Really?
But now with Ann and Carrie, I have two other members. So we've, you know, in the last couple of years, we've figured out how to work with each other, and we've got this great method that works. So I think more of it would be, I think we're pretty smart about how we work, and we get a lot done. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky that we have a fantastic board of directors that are great fundraisers. While I don't necessarily see us maybe expanding the office, although if we were going to grow, I would like to see us grow in the alumni area in particular. But because we have such committed board members and the committee members on these special events that we do that help us fundraise, it's almost like we have this really incredibly large fundraising office, because you know you've got 20 members on the foundation board that are doing the same thing that we're doing, and committees can have anywhere from 10 to 20 members that are also helping. You know, we've got that. Future wise, we've got a different event coming up this year that we don't do very often, and it's called Repartee. It is a fundraiser for the Rep Stage program.
I love Rep Stage. Yes. Those guys are great.
They are amazing. And so we did one repartee back in 2009 when it was their 15th anniversary. So it'll be their 25th anniversary.
It's time to bring it back. It's been like 10 years.
Yes. Yeah. And so Saturday, May 18th, 2019, date's already set. We'll be starting to pull together, working with Joseph and Z over in the Rep Stage office. We'll be working on pulling a committee together to help sponsorships, raise money, tickets, and get the word out on Rep Stage, which is a great program. And that's somebody we help raise money for. The foundation raises money. I mean, we're all about the students. There's a number of different ways we raise money for the students, but we also raise money for some of the programs that the college has, Rep Stage being one of them.
Right.
You know, the Arts Collective, we do fundraising with them. You know, through the Arts and Humanities, there's a Steinway Piano Initiative.
Oh, that's great.
Right, and we do some smaller fundraisers for people who are trying to raise money for their endowments or programs here on campus.
Right.
You know, we raise money for students in a number of different ways, not just scholarships. Tuition and fees is great, but books are expensive. We have some special funds that are just for books.
Nice.
But also there are times we have a Student Helping Hands Fund. Life gets in the way of going to school. And they may find themselves about to be evicted or about to lose their electricity or their car broke down or they can't afford, you know, there's something, they need daycare, something's come up. So we have a Student Helping Hands Fund. And we also have an Employee Helping Hands Fund in case something happens like this to someone who works here, so that we can help the student be successful and stay in school and finish their degree.
Are those used a lot or just infrequently?
No, a lot.
Really?
The employee, not as much as the Student Helping Hands Fund is very popular.
Okay.
But that's the purpose is, you know, we want students to be successful. And I think the college is very good about having all these programs in place to help. We have different ways you can give. You can create a scholarship, you know, you can give it to unrestricted, but all the money always goes back to students.
Okay.
And we work really closely with the donor to make sure that it's a win-win situation, that we're helping students here, but we're supporting something that has meaning to the donor.
Gotcha.
You can give online. We have online giving. Through events, you can give me a call. I'm happy to talk to anybody about whatever it is they might be interested in, whether it's a program, fund they want to support, whether it's something new that we might have, whether it's something maybe we haven't thought of, got an opportunity for you to apply for a grant.
Good contact number for you?
I'm going to go ahead and give the main number. That is 443-518-1970.
Okay, very cool.
We'll get you to the development office.
Excellent, very good. Email if they want to get in touch with you or your team?
Mine is first initial last name, so it's M. Mattie, which is M-M-A-T-T-E-Y. At howardcc.edu, foundation@howardcc.edu.
Missy Mattie, thank you so much for the time today. It was absolutely fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
That's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Thanking you very much, as always, for being right there. Until next time, make it a great day and an even better tomorrow.